listening to the 40 Thrive Podcast, the show created for women 40 and beyond, ready to shake things up. And now, your host, Jackie McDougall.
Welcome to another episode of 40 Thrive. So you may have noticed I took last week off from the podcast. Crazy concept, but I did it. And I missed you. It was kind of a forced break. As you know, I turned 50 and I just really wanted to spend some time with the family, decompress, and just get a little perspective. I don't know about you, but myself as a self-employed coach and consultant, community builder, I find that I'm constantly grinding the gears, like constantly. There's this idea that I have to work all the time. But what I discovered with a week off and 3 days on the coast, which is my favorite part, is that the world just keeps spinning with or without us. I know we act like if we don't work or we're not doing something or achieving something, that the world will just crumble. And guess what? It didn't. I had time to think and contemplate personally and professionally. I think the best way to describe it is, you know, when you start to notice your eyes going, I don't know if it has happened for you yet. For me, it was close to 40 when I noticed I might need reading glasses. But we hold up a book or a phone, as we always did, and then we quickly realize that we're too damn close to really make out any words. And so we start to like pull the book or the phone away from our face more and more and more until we finally bite the bullet and get the glasses, right? This can also happen with our lives, I think. We're so in the zone, we're working, we're sometimes taking care of other humans, trying to give attention to romantic relationships and friendships, partnerships, all of it, that we stop getting that bird's eye view that's so necessary. Everything is so close to your face that it's blurry and you can't really make out what the priorities are. And so it was really such a great way to come back and to have perspective. And I got to tell you, I feel more clear about what I'm doing, where I'm going, how I'm here to serve you more than ever. Okay, so on today's episode, you will meet Leah Hadley. She's a best-selling author, certified divorce financial analyst, and an accredited financial counselor. She's all about helping us make wise financial decisions as we begin the next phase of our life with the strongest possible financial foundation. Now, Leah was not always a financial whiz. In fact, she was an instant parent of three when she and her husband adopted a sibling group. But then it wasn't soon after that she was going through a divorce. So she gets the struggle, the financial struggle, the family struggle. Leah is brilliant when it comes to managing money during and after divorce. So stay tuned for that for sure if that applies to you. But I also wanted to talk to her about managing money as a couple when you're still together, hopefully well enough that you can avoid that divorce. We talk about setting financial goals, getting on the same page, communication around goals. Oh my gosh, so important. Becoming an entrepreneur after working at a quote unquote safe job for years, and managing finances through huge transitions. Most of us have had some sort of transition, or there could be one right around the corner. This is definitely an episode that can help. This is not one of those heady or boring financial conversations. I am not capable of having those, but Leah provides some super simple real-life tactics to empower you to make the most of your money. Oh, and how to recognize the red flags when you do reach out to a financial planner. There are times where you need to run like hell in the other direction. Are you ready for this? Oh, and if you like what you hear and you want to work with Leah, I have all of her contact info in the show notes. She's offering you a free introductory call. Just let her know when you do reach out that you were referred by 40 Thrive. Now, last thing before we get started, I invite you to become part of the 40 Thrive Hive. It is a small group of women who support the show at a $3 or $10 level, super, super affordable. And we have special monthly events like live podcast recordings and happy hours and coaching calls and all this stuff going on. So check out the show notes, 40thrive.com/episode102. And you can find out all the details for that. I would love to have you join us. So check that out. All right. So let's make some positive, amazing, impactful financial changes, growth, all of it. Here's my conversation with Leah Hadley. Leah, welcome to 40 Thrive.
Thank you so much for having me, Jackie.
I'm excited. So we were just talking about your pitch. I have to say, like, as a creative coach, someone who works with experts, I want to send them your pitch to be on the podcast because I just think it was so brilliant. And I have this thing where I'm like, if someone takes the time to actually research the show, to know who they're pitching, to connect your skills with the audience, like, it's an absolute yes. So thank you for being here.
Oh, it is absolutely my pleasure. Thank you.
You've got all these letters after your name. We all know you're official. I read a little bit of your bio in the intro, but it wasn't always like that. Can you take us back to the storm before the calm?
Sure. So while I'm a financial professional now, and I have been for years, I started as a teacher. So my undergraduate degree is in sociology. My master's degree is in education. I taught in elementary schools. I taught in community colleges. And I got really burnt out in the classroom. It was hard. I was in Baltimore City Public Schools. And I left my position and I was just drowning in student loans at the time and completely overwhelmed. And I just needed a job. And at that time, I took on a temporary job at an investment bank doing administrative work. And it was a time where places were automating their publications. And so I was in the equity research department kind of helping with that process. But I didn't know what a balance sheet was at that time. I didn't have an accounting background. I didn't have any of that information. And I had some amazing mentors in my career who really took me under their wing and helped me to learn. And obviously I took lots of classes and licensing and whatnot along the way. But I really started without that knowledge. And I think that's really helpful when I work with people, because I very much remember those first days, weeks, months, for that matter, in the investment bank and just hearing all of these words and terms that I had never heard before. And so there was so much for me to learn. Throughout my career, I've had lots of stumbles along the way. You know, I was downsized from that investment bank, as a matter of fact, after I became an equity research analyst. Before I got divorced, I adopted three children all at once. They were a sibling group. So we adopted them and went from zero to three overnight.
Wow.
So I have had my share of financial challenges.
Wait, so you adopted three children and then got a divorce soon after?
Yeah, not too long after. We found that we did not parent well together.
Mm.
And so we actually co-parent brilliantly together. We do really well as co-parents. But living under the same roof, it was not good. So yeah, we did get a divorce. Because the adoption process took so long, actually from our adoption to our divorce, it was probably less than 2 years, but we had the kids for longer than that.
Right. And so you're going through all that, you're burnt out with teaching, you're obviously getting a massive education in finance. And then at what point did you branch off into your own and start this business?
So I really tried to stay in a company. I actually had never had the vision for myself to be an entrepreneur, although I certainly had several amazing people in my life who I had seen be very successful in that way. But financial security, I have to say, is one of my core values. Mm. So I very much understand people who stress about money because I'm one of those people who just really needs that security blanket. And I used to think that working for a company provided that, but now I know myself and I understand better that I have more control over my income as an entrepreneur, but it took me a long time to get there. So the last time I got downsized again, actually out of equity research, I looked for a position. I really wanted to be in a company, but I did have the three children at that time. And I was actually divorced already at that time. And I couldn't find something that was going to allow me to have the time with my kids that I wanted to be able to have with them, but still have like a really fulfilling career that I wanted to have. And ultimately, wasn't really able to serve people in the way that I wanted to serve people. So I had gone through a lot of training around helping people with divorce specifically. I do a lot of help around the challenges around the finances. And that offering, the way that I'm able to serve people now on my own, doesn't really exist in some of the larger financial institutions. It's just not an option.
Right.
And so being on my own, it's allowed me to help people in a way that I just couldn't in other positions.
Right. I love that you're helping people navigate finances through a divorce. But we all know that finances can be the elephant in the room in a marriage. So let's just go back to those who may still be with a partner. What are some of the mistakes and how can we correct them when we're actually partnered?
I'm so glad you asked this question, because if I had it, like if I could do it, I would reach people well before the divorce in every situation. So it really comes down to having some really good, clear communication around goals. And that's where financial planning really starts. A lot of people kind of think it's all numbers and it's all, you know, focused around accounts and kind of rules of the road. But really, when I'm working with people, and especially when I'm working with a couple, our whole initial meeting is all about their goals and getting to know what ultimately are you trying to achieve in your life? What do you want to do for your family? Things like that. That's what's going to guide the process, right? So sure, there's lots of, you know, financial rules or rules of thumb out there. But at the end of the day, I think the biggest challenge is people aren't the same page as far as where they're going. And having that goal conversation and getting really clear on that is kind of that North Star. So when you're having those challenges around money, because there's going to be challenges. And I know I already shared some of my own stumbling along the way, right? So we know there's going to be difficulties. So having those conversations and getting on the same page around what the two of you want to be able to accomplish, that gives you a framework for those difficult conversations.
Okay.
When let's say, you know, especially look at 2020, so many people experienced a drop in income.
Yep.
And how do we navigate that? What does that mean for us? And so already starting with, well, this is our goal. This is what we're working toward. Now we have a loss of income. What changes do we need to make? What adjustments need to be made? And sometimes that means we need to adjust the goals. Sometimes that means they might need to be pushed out a little bit further. But sometimes that means we need to adjust a step to get from where we are today to those goals. But once people are on the same page, they've created that plan of, hey, this is what we're working toward. This is how we're going to get there. You have that clear structure for those conversations when life happens and changes come up. That just makes that communication easier.
Right. So what are some of the goals that maybe one partner has and the other doesn't? Like, are you talking about buying a house or having, you know, X amount in the bank? What do you see?
I see it all, Jackie. I mean, I had a conversation just the other day with a couple who just started working with me. And they are talking about their next house right now, okay? Mm-hmm. The gentleman happens to have gotten a great promotion in his job. His salary is much higher than what they had been living on for years and years. And the wife is spending quite a bit of time at home with the kids, but she has an idea of kind of how she was raised and what that next house might look like. In his mind, he's really celebrating this accomplishment in his career, and he wants to go big. So finding something that's going to work for the two of them and really talking that out. What are the goals? What do we want to accomplish here? Because, you know, one of the things that people kind of get into a trap of, especially when they are seeing some success in their career, is maybe overspending in the short term because Yes. They may see some of their colleagues doing that, but not keeping the big picture in mind, right? And so having those conversations and getting clear on what is the space that we want to be able to provide for our family? How do we want to use the space? You know, if you want to entertain, what does that look like? And finding the right goal for what they're actually trying to accomplish, right?
Right. You know, you think more money will be the answer, but then you raise your cost of living. Right. You know, it's like you could be making $50,000 a year and you live within that. Then you're making $100,000. You live within that. Like, we always find a way to spend the money, don't we?
Yes.
I love that you said job security does not necessarily come with big corporations. We look at a job, quote unquote, I'm doing my air quotes, as this like, oh, I'm safe. I can exhale. And entrepreneurship is just so scary and it could sink any minute. And it's not really the case anymore.
That's right.
In fact, many of us by this age have some skills that are totally marketable.
Absolutely.
That can become a career where you don't have to rely on the financial situation of that company that you're working for.
Absolutely. These are some of my favorite to work with, to be honest with you. People who may have a corporate job, but they may have started something on the side. I work with a ton of coaches and consultants. How do we fiscally responsibly make this transition from having that full-time corporate job to being on my own? And sometimes when we look at the numbers, it can get really exciting on what you can accomplish on your own, where there are a lot of limitations within a corporate position. And so I love those plans because they're a lot of fun because people have these amazing visions and how they can impact the world. And it's really exciting for me to help them make that a reality.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, that we used to live in a time where we were waiting for 65 to retire. And now more and more people are finding something they love to do and that they're great at and that they want to continue being vital after 65 and through, you know, 80. or beyond doing work.
Absolutely.
Because you have to pay for the house anymore, maybe. Maybe you do, but just because it's kind of fun to work when you love it.
That's absolutely true. I do tend to work with a lot of women who stayed home with their kids and really focused on their family mm-hmm. for years and years and years. And then there's this moment where, you know, the kids are going off to college or kind of transitioning out of the house. And it's like, okay, what now? And it's usually for me, it's women right around 50, it seems like, who are realizing that they have a long life ahead of them. And, you know, it's not all about the kids anymore. And what is going to get me excited? What does this next chapter look like for me? And it can look like you get to make that choice, right? Like it can look like all kinds of things. But if I come back to that where we started in talking about, you know, having those conversations with your spouse, right? These are great conversations to be having together mm-hmm. and working through together, because that's what helps people stay on the same page and communicating, especially when it comes to money.
Right. When one of you wants to spend $20,000 a year on travel and the other wants to buy a beach house, you're going to have a little, I don't know. Wow. Those were two very quality problems right there. No, I have never had either one of those problems. So let's just move on from that.
And the big one that I get, Jackie, is one of the people wants to live on a boat. That's like the,
really?
I get a lot of folks who have a retirement dream of living on a boat and the other one is just not on board.
Let me guess. It's more men who want to live on boats.
It is.
That sounds very male. Now we're in a partnership, we're learning how to communicate, be on the same page with money. I love that you even just talking about financial planning. Like when I think financial planning, I either like my ADHD kicks in and I just get completely bored, distracted, or just overwhelmed. And the way you talk about it is like, oh, we're just talking about some life goals and we're going to put some numbers to it. And we're going to like, oh, I could do that. That's so different, right?
It is.
Here's the thing. If you're listening right now, there's a good chance you've gone through some sort of transition in the last year, 5 years, 10 years. So how do we manage this if, let's just start with a divorce. Mm-hmm. So you've got a lot of women, especially those women who were at home. There are a lot mm-hmm. of women who don't have any real control over the finances. There are plenty who do.
Right.
So what do you see when it comes to a woman who's divorcing or divorced and finances?
So the biggest thing that I find when people reach out to me, they've really been struggling with, and I think they would have reached out a little bit sooner if it wasn't this huge obstacle to overcome, is just what we have in our mind about what we should or should not know about finances. Hmm. And I always tell people, you're at a moment in time. There's no judgment about what happened prior to this moment in time. But what we want to get really clear on is where are you at in this moment, right? And when you've gone through a major transition, sometimes it's a little bit of a reality check. And sometimes people are actually much better off financially than they ever realized, which is fantastic. But the opposite can also be true, especially if they did trust their partner to be responsible for the finances. Right. Just because you've entrusted that responsibility to that person doesn't mean they're doing it well. Mm-hmm. Right. And sometimes, especially if somebody's going through a divorce, that may be the moment in time when you find out that, in fact, you are in a worse financial situation than you realize. And that can be very difficult. So the first step is really getting clear on where are we at this moment in time? What are we most stressed out about? What do we need to prioritize? Right. And it's not about what you should or shouldn't have done. It's really about getting very clear. And that is looking at things like, where's the income currently coming from? What are the expenses currently look like? Is there a lot of credit card debt? That's something I, you know, help people figure out all the time, but it's very, very common and can really weigh you down, especially mm-hmm. if you are transitioning into a new chapter of your life. So looking at all of those kind of pieces and putting the puzzle together, but it's more, again, than the numbers. It's also, where are you at in terms of your financial confidence? Because a lot of times those transitions can really shake our confidence. And what will help you to build that confidence up? Sometimes it's just having the clarity around the numbers, but sometimes it's also some additional education. Sometimes it's just kind of exploring, how did I land here, right? And even our thoughts around money. So, you know, people are raised with all different kind of stories around what money should be or shouldn't be. And we attach all of this emotion and weight to something that's really just, you know, an exchange of value. And so, especially when somebody is going through a big transition like that, it's kind of like, let's look at what are we associating with money? How do we separate out some of those emotions? So that way we can make really good financial decisions, both in the short term, but also really looking to the future and long-term decisions as well.
Right.
So that's really first. There's a lot of grieving that goes along with that, because whether you're leaving a relationship, you're grieving a relationship, or just the loss of what you had known, or your comfort level with somebody else being responsible for it. You know, there's a lot of grieving that goes along with that. And so that's feelings of denial. That's feelings of sadness. There are, might be moments of anger. Acknowledging that that is all completely normal and part of processing those changes.
Right.
But how do we, again, separate that out from actual, like, looking at the numbers?
Right. So I'm sure, just by talking with you, that you must have women who maybe have buried their heads in the sand for quite a while. I see it all the time with people, right? Maybe it is with the finances. Maybe it's with the mail. They don't want to deal with, like, what's in the mail. I have a friend who has tons of unopened mail on the counter. I just know that there are a lot of women who live in that space of, if I don't know, then I can't be bothered by it. How do you teach someone when now they're going through this transition and they have no choice? I mean, they have a choice. They could still bury their heads in the sand, but they're not going to be able to live for the long term. How do you emotionally help somebody who's maybe really gotten comfortable with that head in the sand?
So unfortunately, when you're going through a transition like this, you have to take your head out of the sand. It's just the reality. There's a lot of decisions that need to be made. And it's really about, you know, most of the people who reach out to me are stressed. They're stressed about money. They're stressed about the decisions. There's something that's kind of keeping them up at night. And that's really hard. And people want to get past that feeling. They don't want to feel that. They don't want to live with that. And part of that is getting clear on where things stand financially. And I think when people start to realize that the only way that they can really take control of their future is by being informed and making good informed decisions, it really does empower people to get on board. But it's also knowing there's somebody on the other end that's not judging you. Mm-hmm. You know, I had one of my clients one time, she's an artist. I do tend to attract a lot of creative folks. And she's an artist. And she's like, numbers are cold and hard. And you put little cozy sweaters on them when we talk about it. Actually, like, have a conversation about numbers. But that's important, right? It's important to find that person that you can really connect with. So that way you can make these decisions and you don't have to go it alone.
Right. That's awesome. I love the little cozy sweaters. So what are some of the other transitions that we women over 40 may be going through where it's important to kind of take our head out of the sand and know what's going on financially?
Yeah. So there are a lot. That's a big transition time for people, especially if you do have children and, you know, they're growing up, they're starting to make their own decisions. I have one of my clients, I love this. Her son is getting into investing. He's really interested in investing and he wants to learn more. So she says, Leah, I'm going to do it right along with him. We're going to learn together, right?
Oh, that's cool.
It's amazing, right? And she was a stay-at-home mom for years. She hasn't worked for a long time and recently divorced and is going through this transition of being responsible for her finances on her own. And so it's kind of like a great time for her to be learning some of this stuff now. And that way they can really have good conversations together, right? But it's a really important time to set your adult children up for success. Mm. And that can feel very intimidating for somebody who hasn't necessarily ever had a formal, like, financial education for themselves or gone through, like, learning about personal finance and things like that. But what's really important here also is that you are also protecting your own finances as your adult child is transitioning. And that's really important because what I see is a lot of times people co-signing, for example, on loans that then the child is not following through on, which is messing up people's credit, people getting into student loan situations that, you know, make it so basically you are not going to be positioning yourself to be able to retire anytime. So those transitions with your children moving into adulthood, really allowing them to be financially responsible for themselves. It's really hard for a lot of people to let go. They want to support their kids, and I understand where it comes from, but people also need to let that transition happen so that way they are really taking care of themselves. Because the other big thing that happens with women in this age group is a lot of them are also caring for their parents. And so I have a lot of clients who are saying to me, oh my gosh, my parents made this huge mess of the finances. I never want to leave my kids in that position. Right. I want to make sure that I have my ducks in a row so that way they don't have to deal with that. And so it's a time where we're looking at things like getting really clear on estate planning, that maybe you had kind of a basic will in place when your kids were younger, but this is the time to get kind of more thoughtful about that and look at that transition and be proactive. So that way you're not positioning your family to have to deal with those challenges upon your passing. And so that's a big one that I help people with in this age group as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So I think there's a lot of adulting that we need to do at this age that many of us, I've been doing a little research lately as far as like estate planning and wills and any of that stuff that sort of helps the next generation, our kids, not suffer.
Right.
If God forbid something happened to us soon. And so there are so many women, I'm just going to talk about women because that's what we talk about here, who are not intentionally avoiding those topics. And I know they're not sexy. I know. But I think it's really important to discuss them regularly on this podcast because money can be, I don't know why we make money so scary.
Right.
It's really, like you said, it's an exchange of value. It's energy. Mm-hmm. It's all, it depends on how woo-woo you want to get. I have a friend, she loved to shop, and because she was trying to hide her purchases from her husband, she would put half of it on the credit card and half of it in cash. And I was always so amazed when I'd be with her and she's like, can I give you 50 in cash and then put 50 on the card? I just want to get to a place where we're like open and direct and honest about money because we assume it's so much like other things. We assume everybody else has got their shit together and then it's just me who doesn't necessarily have, you know, all my ducks in a row. And so this is amazing. And the other, another thing that I have assumed and that I'm sure a lot of other people assume is that, no, I can't get a financial planner because they're so expensive. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely, Jackie. That is a great question. So one of the things that is really important to me, I'm what's known as a fee-only financial planner, which means that I don't offer anything on a commission basis. There's no hidden fees when somebody works with me. They know exactly what they're paying for. And I don't, that means I don't manage your money for you necessarily, which I think is really helpful for a lot of people because so many people will benefit from having good, solid financial advice, but don't necessarily have the level of assets that some financial advisors require in order to be able to establish that relationship. So I don't have like a minimum amount of assets in order to be able to work with me. And for financial planning, I break things down on a monthly basis for a lot of people. So a lot of times people don't have kind of an amount that they can pay up front. And so they just pay a monthly, you know, financial plan service fee, I guess, and break it down that way. So I think the industry has come a long way to recognize that there are people who need help and there's different ways to get that help. And there are people offering services in different ways to be able to help more people. There are definitely, and I just want to make sure that it is clear, there are a lot of financial advisors that you could reach out to and say, you know, you have X amount of dollars and they're going to say that it's not enough to establish a relationship. That is very common. It absolutely does happen. But there are also people like myself out there who are trying to serve people in other ways. And so it's really about finding that person who's the right fit for you to be able to help you in a way that really is going to serve you.
Right. That's amazing. And so, yes, you're available if anybody wants to reach out to you. I'm going to put all of the ways to connect with you in the show notes. But before we go, will you give us maybe three questions we should definitely ask a financial planner slash advisor to know if they're the right one?
That is such a great question. And I'm so glad you asked it. So absolutely, you want to ask about the kinds of people that they work with. So you want to make sure that you're a good fit in terms of the kinds of help that they provide on a regular basis, you know, what they know the most about, things like that, right? For example, if you are in a corporate position and you're dealing with stock options and different, you know, kinds of stock compensation, you want your financial planner to be well-versed in that area, right? If you're an entrepreneur who has cash flow up and downs, you want a financial planner who is going to be really comfortable working in that space. So knowing like the kinds of people that they work with, what their credentials are, and the kind of planner that they are. So I mentioned before, I'm what's known as a fee-only planner, but you want to know how they're going to get compensated. So a lot of times if somebody's working for an insurance company, for example, they may be compensated through the actual investments or through the products that they're providing, rather than being paid directly. And so you want to make sure you're clear on how that compensation is, so that way you know what you're paying for, right?
Right.
And so really understanding, you know, what their background is, what kind of credentials they hold to be able to serve you well, but also how are they compensated?
Right. And I can only assume that there's definitely a personality thing that happens too, because it's a relationship and hopefully a long-term relationship and one that requires a ton of trust. And so try someone on or have a, I mean, I assume consultations are usually free or, right? Doesn't most people?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think that's also changing in the industry. There certainly are going to be free consultation options or probably a low cost option to kind of get started with somebody and get to know each other. But you're exactly right, Jackie. It is so important to take the time to get to know that person and make sure that you're going to feel comfortable being very honest with them and knowing the kind of support you want. So for example, I tell people that I look at financial planning as a collaborative process. These are ultimately your goals and your plan. I'm here to provide the expertise and the guidance to help you get there, right? But there are other planners who are just going to tell you how to do it. They're just going to, you know, say like, you know, this is it. This is how it goes. And some people really want that. They want to just be told this is how it goes. And then that's the kind of planner that you should find for yourself, right?
Right.
There are planners that specialize in working with physicians or, like I said, specialize in working with entrepreneurs or, you know, so right. Finding that right fit is so important because you're right. Like, especially the clients that I work with, I work very closely with them. We get to know each other really well. And you want to make sure that that's going to feel good, especially if money is something that already makes you feel uncomfortable.
Right, right. And I can only imagine it's a very vulnerable process, you know, like putting everything out there. And so you want someone who you feel comfortable with.
You're exactly right. I've heard some great analogies from some of my clients around that sort of like, but yeah, that is, and I'll be honest with you. I know for myself that that would be a very hard process to go through to just, you know, divulge all that information to somebody and trust that they, you know, that there isn't any judgment that, you know, they really are just looking out for your best interest. I totally recognize that and respect that. But yeah, I've heard some really great analogies from some of my clients.
What are some things though, like traits or qualities in a financial planner that if we see coming at us, we should run the other way? You know, and you know some.
I do, Jackie. And you know, the biggest thing, I will say, I saw a Facebook ad the other day, and my husband and I were joking that we get interesting advertisements because of the work that I do, right? And so I do help a lot of people through divorce. Like we get tons of, you know, targeted ads through divorce. But anyway, so this one was about financial planning specifically, and the ad was very fear-based. It was clear that the person was really trying to stir the pot around people's fears.
Yeah.
And it made me mad. I'll be honest. When I looked at the ad, I had that sort of initial gut, like I was angry to see that advertisement because I could see exactly what the person was doing. So if somebody is trying to scare you, I would run as fast as I could. But the other one that I hear a lot, especially from my female clients, is that they have felt like the person that they met with was really condescending, that they didn't necessarily engage them in conversation so much as they just sort of told them. If somebody's telling you, you know, something in a way that's making you feel less than in any way, that doesn't mean that they know more than you. That is a reflection of them, and that's not a reflection of you. And again, I would run from that experience because that person's not going to treat you with the respect and dignity that you deserve.
Yeah, that's such a great point. So if they're trying to make you fear-based or they talk to you like you are less than, go the other way, ladies, go the other way. And it's so true. I mean, there's so much out there, right? I mean, look at our local news. It's like, is your coffee mug making you sick? We're constantly triggering people's fears to sell a product or service. And so I love, love, love that you said that because while it may be effective, it's kind of icky.
It is. And the reality is that people do have a lot of fear around money. And so I guess from a marketing tactic, you know, there's an opportunity there. But I think you just kind of have to recognize the fact that, yes, I do have some fear around money. And no, I'm not going to play into that.
Right.
That I want somebody who's going to just honestly answer my questions, acknowledging the fact that you may not always like the answer. I mean, that's just kind of the reality, right?
Right. Oh, that's a good point. Because I can imagine someone trying to run the other way because they don't like the answer. So really, We got to stop and look within ourselves why you don't like that answer and why you reached out to a planner in the first place.
Right. And I know for me, it's one of those things where if we have to have a tough conversation, I really try to do it with a lot of empathy, compassion, you know, and recognizing that, you know, somebody's reaching out to me for help and we do need to have a tough conversation. There are planners who are more skilled and less skilled at that, just like there are doctors who are more skilled and less skilled like that, right? So recognizing that there may be some difficult conversations that need to be had. And again, you want to find the right person who you can have those conversations with.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you and your expertise and your awesome way of like making what can be very scary for a lot of people much more attainable. And I think the more we show up in that really compassionate, connected way, the more empowered women will be to take control of their finances.
Absolutely.
And just for those of you out there who are already taking control of your finances and you're like, I don't need any of this. Awesome. Yes, teach the rest of us. Just keep going. Right. Keep going. Awesome. Thank you, Leah.
Thank you so much, Jackie. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening. We keep the conversation going in our free and private Facebook group. So make sure you join us over there. Also, if you have any questions, comments, wishes, hopes, dreams of something you'd like to hear on 40 Thrive, send us an email at hello@40thrive.com. Until next time, take care. And keep thriving. Spring has sprung, and with the change of seasons, sometimes comes an increase in vitality. If you're feeling in the mood for a little more personal time, may I suggest Coconut? Coconut is all about providing clean and natural ingredients when you're enjoying your most intimate moments. With or without a partner. Naturally safe products developed by people who are obsessed with quality. Get 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/coconut. That's 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/coconut.